I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. I want to be crystal clear. From my direct personal experience and what I've subsequently come to learn, it is clear to me that Joe Biden was the brand being sold by the Biden family. His family's foreign influence peddling operation from China to Ukraine and elsewhere sold out the foreign actors who are seeking to gain influence and access to Joe Biden and the United States government. Joe Biden was more than a participant in and a beneficiary of his family's business. He was an active, aware enabler who met with business associates such as myself to further the business, despite being buffered by a complex scheme to maintain plausible deniability. I ask this big question. If there's no evidence of corruption here today, if Joe's conduct and the conduct of his family were fully legal and proper, then why are they so dishonest about it? Not just slight misrepresentations of fact, but deep untruths about the entire corrupt enterprise.
The words of Tony Bobulinski today, after being sworn in under oath, testifying before James Comer's committee about the Hunter Biden statements previously, Joe Biden statements previously, and all of this tied to an impeachment inquiry regarding President Joe Biden. You're going to hear more from Bobulinski in a moment, but his statement there at the end, his actual question, if this is not true, why are they here to defend it and give actual witnesses and statements and details? Now, this raises a very good point for many who want to find a way to defend the Bidens regardless of what you have in front of you. You're entitled to do that. But do you not have any facts? Do you have any witnesses? Because we're not seeing any. Could that be because they don't exist? That would be a perfect example and a reason. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Again, glad to have you join us. Here we are, March 20, 2024. The first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back to back. We're here Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. It is available at News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. Also, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, all those options available, and many more. Wherever you can find podcasts, you're going to find it, because after we're done, we put everything up as a podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com and also Larry Connors USA Facebook, both the audio and the video. So if you can't hear everything right now, if you've got to absolutely get out of the car and go to a dinner engagement that you just can't miss, I understand. Or you can wait and get there for the dessert. I mean, it's your choice. But if you have to go, reminding you, you can always pull it up and listen later and watch. I think many of you would enjoy watching it. It's not exactly just like watching stale radio and bread slowly mold. This is pretty engaging. We keep it that way. And we certainly appreciate you watching, listening, and sharing with others. All right, so we today are beginning this opening of the impeachment inquiry as conducted by Kentucky Congressman James Comer. And here are his opening statements as he started this today.
We'll hear from witnesses who have previously provided information during our deposition and interview phase regarding the Biden family's business practices in China, Ukraine, Russia, and other places around the world. At the start of this Congress, the Oversight Committee has investigated what product or service the Biden family and their associates were selling that would justify over $24 million in payments. We've reviewed emails, bank records, text messages, suspicious activity reports at Treasury, and other evidence normally compiled during an expansive investigation such as this. The Oversight Committee has found no credible evidence of the Bidens providing any work product. The committee has identified no legitimate value or document or even one single hour of work the Bidens have provided their business partners. Nothing.
Nothing. That would be zero. Zip. Nothing. And they've had all this opportunity to do so. This is not, surprise, we're holding a hearing. It was posted on the calendar for months. They knew it was coming. They had the closed-door depositions, which Hunter Biden did finally attend. But he's not at today's public hearing, was not, and will probably not show his face at the public hearing. The very thing he demanded, I want a full public hearing. I don't want to go behind closed doors. They'll change my words and my transcript and everything else. Well, here's your chance, Hunter. Where are you? Can you get out of the Coke room long enough to answer a few questions? Larry, that's a low blow. You shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Now, I want to give you a comparison. This is a big hearing. This is an impeachment inquiry asking, do we have grounds to move forward with impeachment of the president? Do you remember how the leftists were reporting on the impeachment into Donald Trump? I don't mean just the beginnings of the inquiry, but even the rumors and the whispers that they might move for an impeachment. You remember how they were wall-to-wall coverage? I'm looking right now at the CNN main webpage. Now, it will probably change by the time you pull it up, because they rotate things around. But you want to explain to me how they reached this conclusion? I'm looking at their main page, and as I said, the congressional hearing underway throughout today involving the possible impeachment of Joe Biden, and the lead story for CNN is the new EPA rules could rule out passengers' cars and trucks on the strongest climate regulations bill later or yet, which might push the U.S. auto market in a new direction. We're going to get into that later, but not lead. And then they jump into several other stories, including, it sounds like ethnic cleansing and what Israel is doing with moving settlers around. And then I find judge allows Trump and the co-defendants to appeal the order, letting Funny Willis continue on the 2020 election case. And then I find the next big story is, and this is a tragedy, baby dies at home alone while mom was on vacation for 10 days. Now, obviously, that's heartbreaking, and it's a major story, but it doesn't fit compared to what we're dealing with right here as far as the presidency. And then they get into how, here's how immigration helps the U.S. economy. That's the way CNN is looking at this. So you know the leftist state-controlled media networks will be doing the same way. Distract, deflect, look away. There's nothing to see here. Oh, yes, there is. And in fact, once again, the Kentucky Congressman James Comer.
What is apparent after over a year of investigation is that the Bidens do not work in any traditional sense of the word. They do not work as consultants or lawyers or advisors. The Bidens don't sell a product or service or a set of skills. The Bidens sell Joe Biden. That is their business. For months, we have heard Democrats desperately proclaiming that witnesses have told this committee that Joe Biden had no involvement in his family's business dealings. But where are those witnesses today? It's telling. Democrats haven't invited one of these witnesses to today's hearing. That's because they know their testimonies would not withstand public scrutiny.
And there it is. They can lie to you, the American public, through the state-controlled media all they want and hopefully bait you into their story. But when you're under oath in front of Congress, you make similar statements that are obviously false, misleading. you're facing federal charges of perjury. Of course, with this attorney general's office, they'd probably overlook it. But that's part of it. So the first witness that appeared before the committee today was Tony Bobulinski, you were listening to earlier, and of course he's outlining some things. But interesting thing, before he began his testimony, he asked, did you guys want to hear from Hunter Biden first? I kind of like it. This is a kind of a wry little twist of humor, because he knew Hunter Biden wasn't in the room, and he asked that question knowing they're going to say, well, Mr. Hunter Biden isn't here, so we're going to go to you first. But I love the fact that he set it up like that. It's a joke, but I didn't hear the Democrats laughing. Tony Bobulinski.
I sit here today under oath for one reason and one reason only. The American people deserve to hear the truth. Though the truth involving the deep corruption of the Biden family, including the malfeasance of the sitting president of the United States, might be raw and unpleasant, the American people must hear it. You're presented here today with two narratives in this investigation. A false one being pushed by Joe Biden, a serial liar and fabulous, now under this impeachment investigation for public corruption. His brother, Jim Biden, a 75-year-old man who can't keep his lies straight, including under oath. And his son, Hunter Biden, a chronic drug addict facing two indictments with 12 counts. You also have before you the truth, confirmed by multiple Biden family business partners over many years and backed up by mountains of irrefutable evidence, including text messages, emails, documents, recordings. I am the only Biden family business partner with an impeccable military record. I'm grateful that this country has given me the freedom to be successful.
In other words, I'm here because I'm going to tell you the truth. I have an impeccable record, and you can take it apart if you want to and go after it. In fact, he pointed out I have been extremely successful, and that's partly why they came to me, because they thought they could get me to help them carry this across the threshold. Once again, back to Bobulinski on his past, and referenced not just his business acumen, but his love for this country.
My business success is why they sought me out. However, what they have done is repugnant to me. I am here today because I'm a patriot and I'm a truth teller. We keep hearing from certain corners that our democracy is at risk and democracy is on the ballot in 24. Yet the same people preaching this mantra know better. They continue to lie directly to the American people without hesitation and remorse. Rep. Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin, both lawyers, and Mr. Goldman, a former prosecutor with the SDNY from New York, will continue to lie today in this hearing and then go straight to the media to tell more lies. Hunter Biden's defense attorney, Abby Lowell, weaponizes letters to Congress to try to smear my name.
Mr.
And
Chairman.
The cold hard facts.
Mr. Chairman.
In an attempt to save his powerfully connected client and his father. I challenge Mr. Lowell to make those claims on national television so he can be held accountable for his lies.
Mr. Chairman, he used my name. He said something bad about me. That was what was happening. Members of Congress, Dan Goldman, who was there, and then Abby Lowell, I don't know if he's not, well, he's not on the panel, but I know Dan Goldman said, Mr. Chairman, he's saying something derogatory about us. And you said in the beginning we could not do that. Well, they had a little conference after that, and James Comer said, we said members of the panel can't do it. We didn't say witnesses were provided, were kept from doing it. But Dan Goldman didn't like that. He'd been called a liar right there in public. Perfect. Great start, Bobulinski. Thank you very much. So we have another day and another day of chaos on the border is what that equates to, amplified by a U.S. Supreme Court ruling late yesterday, which was quickly tossed by a lower court. And now another issue, can illegals own guns?
we've got breaking news overnight. A federal appeals court blocking a Texas immigration law that would allow the state to arrest migrants who cross into Texas into the border illegally. The decision came just hours after the Supreme Court ruled that Texas can assume border security duties and arrest migrants who breach the border.
This is the election right here in a nutshell. This border, this is an invasion, and then on top of this new decision from a district judge yesterday, a district court judge stating about the they are allowed to have weapons. You know, if you have 10 million people coming to your country and now they can have the right to bear arms, now we've got an armed potential. What else can we call it but an invasion?
Yeah, I mean, what you're referring to is an Obama-appointed Illinois judge ruling that illegal immigrants can own a firearm and carry a firearm. The judge saying that a federal prohibition on illegal migrants owning firearms is unconstitutional when applied to a non-citizen who has never been convicted of a violent crime.
There's a key phrase, a violent crime. Now, if they enter the country illegally, they have committed a felony if you're going to impose our immigration laws. So they should not be allowed to have a gun, correct? Okay. That was also my basic belief. And you were hearing Maria Bartiromo discussing it at that point with the one of her guests, and they were talking about this sudden ruling. The guest was Rebecca Walser with the Walser Wealth Management. But she also had on board Adam Johnson. He's with Bullseye American Funding. Bullseye, not reference shooting, but just their target issue, American Funding, making money for their investors. This issue about illegals having a gun, as repugnant as it might sound, you need to hear Adam Johnson's viewpoint.
The right to bear arms is the law of the land. It's guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, as is freedom of speech, as is freedom of religion, as is a right to a fair trial and a jury by your peers. So if you support the Bill of Rights and all of the guarantees that that sacred piece of paper ensures for Americans, and you respect it as the law of the land, you have to ensure it for everyone who is on this land. As awkward as that sounds, and I tell you why, if you say, yeah, but things have changed, and so we can't do it for this group right now because this immigration thing's crazy. Well, now you're actually chipping away at the cornerstone of this great country, and you can't do that because of circumstances in the moment.
And that's much like the freedom of speech you love, but you hate to see someone burn an American flag. But it's a First Amendment right. That, and his thinking is right to the point and extremely valid and constitutional. You don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, but I can't really argue against it. Once again, you're listening to one of Maria Bartiromo's guests, Adam Johnson with Bullseye American Funding.
You're actually chipping away at the cornerstone of this great country, and you can't do that because of circumstances in the moment.
So breaking into the country illegally is not chipping away at anything. We're talking about illegal.
These are separate issues. There shouldn't be illegals coming in across the border. But once they're here, they are in this land, and there are laws in this land guaranteed by the Bill of Rights, and you have to respect that out of consistency. They shouldn't be here in the first place.
Right.
But that's a separate issue.
It is a separate issue, regrettably. And again, our Constitution either stands or it doesn't. Coming up later, a visit to AOC's backyard, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's backyard, her congressional district, where many who supported her now say, we don't even love her. And there's another vital congressional investigation, the GOP House leading an inquiry into the debacle of the Biden-Afghan pullout and the death of 11 U.S. troops. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance, they can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm going on away to the gun carry, make camp where the land is bare. I'm going on away to the gun carry, ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from. Left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So were you aware, after the Abbey Gate attack, were you aware that service members at the gate had requested the ability to service the target, so to speak? Were you aware of that?
No, I would not be aware
of that. And it's understandable that a combatant commander might not be aware of what service members right on the line are aware of. But post that circumstance, were you concerned about the intelligence you were getting regarding the action you were about to take on the would-be attackers and that network?
Sure. So on or about the 26th, we were tracking four broad, very active, very concerning threat streams. We were attacking, looking at the threat of a vehicle-borne right. IED, a person-borne IED, which actually was the modality of the Abbey Gate attack.
Right.
We were looking at indirect fire, rockets and mortars, and we were looking at an insider attack, someone who gets in and blows himself up in the terminal.
Right.
So we had dozens of...
You had nothing fitting the description of what your service members on the gate,
we
on the line
had. We
had
a lot of descriptions of men and
So when the service member on the line is looking at the attacker based on the description and he's got the rules of engagement, but the rules of engagement at that point require him to check with his commander, go up the line, and he does not get approval. That's exceptionally concerning. I understand the fog of war. I get the circumstance you're in, but there's a man sitting here that's been blown up because he couldn't get the answer that he needed.
And that was a major tragedy. You were listening at that point to part of the congressional testimony from yesterday as Congress begins to look into what went wrong with the Afghan withdrawal. Well, there are numerous things that went wrong. And in my opinion, the majority of the blame lies with the commander-in-chief, President Biden. And we're going to explain that in more detail, in part because he did not take the recommendation he was given by the military leaders. But the question then was from Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry to General Kenneth McKenzie. And he was talking about the rules of engagement. And prior to what you just heard, the general admitted that, yes, we have our rules of engagement, where one, a soldier can always fire to defend themselves. They're also allowed to shoot and fire if they're protecting an ally. And then also, if they see a threat that might be imminent for civilians, they are allowed to take action. But the way it was set up, they had to call and get clearance for it. The story had been circulating that at Abbey Gate, which was one of the main entrances into Kabul International Airport, once we shut down our base outside the town, some 40 miles away, which was heavily fortified, fences and everything else, but we just abandoned our equipment in the middle of the night, and rather than using that as a field to get Afghans that we said we would rescue and save from the Taliban and get them to safety, we made them all, and including Americans, make their way to the international airport trying to get in. And it was a swarm, a tsunami of people. And mixed in with them probably were some Taliban who were trying to get out of the country. And they are now in our country. And maybe they've changed their attitude. They're not going to be acting as they did as a Taliban member, but maybe they will at some point down the road. That's another story and another rabbit hole to go down some other day in more detail. But for right now, based on some of the testimony we saw yesterday in this congressional committee, you're hearing from General McKenzie as to trying to explain what was taking place. I want to read a piece that was written regarding him, and this source, the copy of the source didn't come out. Let me find this, because I never like giving you material if I don't have the source here in front of me. This particular piece was written by, I cannot find it here immediately, but I'm going to take it for what it is, in the sense that what they're trying to do here is not cover anything up, but they're not trying to make things up. All right, here it is. This is apparently an NBC News report. And they said the retired commander who oversaw the Afghan withdrawal, which would be McKinney, the man who was actually in charge as it went forward, McKenzie, I should say, General Kenneth McKenzie. The headline of the article is, retired commander who oversaw the Afghan withdrawal says he alone bears responsibility for the airport attack. He did later place some blame on the State Department because he said the order U.S. diplomats had to issue for the evacuation from Afghanistan came too late. But he's not trying to pass a buck. He's standing up there and saying, I'm the guy. Again, General Kenneth McKenzie, during that Senate Armed Services Committee hearing yesterday, he didn't try to deflect anything. He flat out admitted, again, this is a retired Marine general. He said, I was the overall commander, and I alone bear full military responsibility for what happened at Abbey Gate. And, of course, at Abbey Gate is where a suicide bomber approached and detonated his explosives, killing dozens of civilians and 11 service members. I'm sorry, 13 service members total, I believe. 13 and 170 civilians. 11 U.S. Marines, one sailor, one soldier, and 170 Afghan civilians. Our troops were trying the best they could to help people get through the gate or not get through the gate until they were vetted, even taking babies from the hands of parents who were handing them to them and lifting them over the gate inside for protection. And there was a report that a man matching a description that had already apparently been passed around might be carrying out a suicide attack. Now, according to General McKenzie, he was not aware of the actual description, but he also admitted, I believe the call to the evacuate came too late. And, of course, they continued to hold their leadership roles, he and other commanders, after that happened. So I like the fact that the Marine general, retired now, simply says, I'll take the responsibility. I'll take the bullet because I did not protect my forces and the others who were there. But the issue being that if you have rules to engage, if you think you're under a direct threat, you should be able to react immediately. Well, apparently at that point, and understand the fog of war and all these people coming at you, maybe that's a guy that we saw a picture of, or maybe it's not. So the guy's calling, trying to get permission. A sniper had him in their sights. Could have hit him before he got all the way up to the gate. The word came too late. Then you have another question raised, and this one was being raised, again, inside this committee by New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith regarding specifically General Milley and the talk about leaving more troops than the handful that were left behind in Afghanistan.
General Milley, you mentioned how you had suggested a minimum of 2,500 troops to remain. Who rejected your advice? Was it the president? Did you ever get a written or oral feedback as to why they rejected that advice?
Well, again, I can't say, you know, the president said this, president said that. That's beyond the scope of the law, actually, with executive privilege. But it's obvious that the president made the decision, and the president made an announcement on the 14th. And our recommendation was, as I mentioned, or our thoughts at the time was, as I mentioned, and every president has a right to make those decisions. He's looking at things from a much wider angle than a military angle. Our military assessment was keep 2,500, and with them, it's not just 2,500. It's 2,500 plus the NATO plus the contractors.
Right.
And the contractors are key here. And then that, we thought, our assessment was, that would keep the Afghan government, the military, stable until such time as a diplomatic outcome could occur in accordance with the conditions set in the Doha Agreement.
In retrospect, would that have made the difference?
I mean, we'll never know, I guess, because it didn't happen.
It didn't happen, so we don't know what could have happened. Now, again, a question was also raised by Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Congressman McCall of Texas on how this was handled. The questions being raised then were by Congressman Chris Smith about those 2,500 troops. You heard Milley say, yes, that's what we needed, that's what we asked for, but it didn't happen. But he's at the same time saying, what, CYA or cover Biden in this case? But we now have McCall saying, we need to know why the State Department did not request an emergency evacuation. And he also says Secretary of State Anthony Blinken should be held in Congress for failure to turn over all required documents. And he also does refer to the documents about a U.S. sniper who said he saw a suicide bomber and could have taken him out before he got to Abbey Gate. We need answers. Coming up, Biden on the EPA rules that will wreck the economy. Surprise there, right?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration's crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the Biden administration has finalized a slate of highly anticipated EPA rules curbing gas-powered vehicle tailpipe emissions. It's all part of their efforts, of course, to go green and reduce greenhouse gases emissions, combat global warming. So in a joint announcement, the White House and the EPA unveiling what they say is the most aggressive multi-pollutant emission standards ever finalized. While the regulations target gas-powered vehicles, they're explicitly designed to push wider nationwide adoption of electric vehicles, EVs, and according to officials, are expected to ensure nearly 70% of all new car sales are zero emissions within a few years. Well, what's a few years? Well, whatever they decide when they get down to it. But in a concession to the automakers and labor unions, the rules will be phased in a little slower than originally proposed because this is an election year. You can't just throw this in the face of the American public and say, take it or leave it. No, we'll leave it, thank you. So they're slowing it down. Nearly a year ago, the EPA proposed a fast ramp-up of EVs. They would have ensured 2/3 of all vehicles sold electric by the end of this decade. What are we here? 2024? Let me see. 2030 minus 2024. My ciphering says 6 years or less. It ain't going to happen. And 2023, EVs made up just 7.6% of new car sales. That's according to Kelley Blue Book. The new rule targets 35 to 56% for EVs in 2032. Well, that's longer than the beginning of the next decade. 13% to 20% for plug-in hybrids. And here's where they're looking at trying to keep things together. President Biden vowing the cars will be made by American workers. China is ramping up plants it has in Mexico. And, of course, they're planning on selling them right across the Mexican border to U.S. consumers. And, of course, if they got a lot of electronic gadgets on it, who do you think's monitoring what's going on in your car and what you're doing, where you're going? Aside from that, that's the statement that Trump made over the weekend that suddenly got all the blowback. He said, if I'm not elected president, there's going to be, well, you remember the statement, right? And he was talking about what's going to happen to the motor industry because of these rules and everything else Biden is trying to push. So in a statement to the workers, Biden vows U.S. workers will lead on automaking clean car trucks, each stamped made in America. Listen to me closely here because I'm going to give you his last four words that he said following that statement. Joe Biden said, and I'm quoting, "You have my word." I'm sorry, I don't really trust that word, even if you remember it. And all of this, of course, is to basically lower emissions. I want to give you their concern about the climate and health impacts. This is assuming you want to buy this malarkey. Yeah, that's a word Joe Biden's used before. But in this case, I think it works. And especially when it comes to our health. I mean, who now believes anything we get from this government regarding health rules, measures, and recommendations after COVID? Very few. But here's what they're claiming. There's a 2019 study, and I don't see the citation on who made the study, but they say there's a 2019 study that shows particle pollution, that would be from emissions from gasoline vehicles, led to more than 107,000 premature deaths in just 1 year. Well, now, is this like COVID was? You die in a motorcycle accident during that period of time. Oh, he had COVID. The hospitals got more money when they on the set. So, and you might have well had COVID, but COVID didn't kill you. A truck ran over you. That killed you. But you had COVID, so we can list that. So here I'm saying 107,000 premature deaths are blamed on particle pollution. Really? There's no other contributing factor for any of the, not even one contributing factor? Like maybe they got hit by a truck? Or the fact that they smoke a lot? Or name whatever else you have that might be a concern for your health. Well, of course, the American Lung Association senior director is very much on getting into this, saying these new standards will really provide significant relief from vehicle exhaust. May I advise this? Do not start your car in a closed garage and just sit there. That's not a good idea. Now, do we have pollution around us? Yes. We no longer have the smoke billowing plants we used to have back when the Industrial Revolution started. Yes, we need to clean air. We want to scrub it best we can. But you continue to go down this road and push on the American people. They don't believe a word you're saying. And rightly so. And not only here, but across the world. One of the biggest polluters in the world, India, along with China and others. It makes no difference what we do here as to what's going to happen worldwide. Now, they can claim, well, look, if we do it, it'll appear to be a leader, and they will follow us. I don't think that will be. This is akin to when my parents would tell me, Larry, eat everything on your plate. There are kids in China starving. Now, I did not talk back to my dad or mom, but in my mind, I'm thinking, how's it going to help the kids starving in China if I eat all my food? I didn't get it. But they were repeating what their parents had told them. It was just follow the rule. Clean your plate. And if I had broccoli on it, I kept looking for brownie. My dog, come around, come here. But after a while, brownie wouldn't eat it. So now I got broccoli all around the bottom of my chair. Now I'm in more trouble. All right, there's a report that Israel has taken out a major Hamas terrorist. And, of course, they do continue to carry out other strikes as well. But this particular strike apparently is going to mean a lot as far as the IDF is concerned, saying we eliminated this senior Hamas operatives, not just one, but several in Rafah. Biden still wants an can you just quit firing and shooting at them? Can we have peace? You had peace. You had peace before October 7. So Fox News did a visit to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's backyard, her congressional district, where many who did support her then and have since reelected her once, they don't love her anymore.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Earlier this week, we showed you this shocking video of migrants setting up an unauthorized flea market right there on the streets of New York City. Well, Fox & Friends weekend co-host Rachel Campos Duffy hit those same streets to talk with Queens residents and business owners about the impact of those vendors.
So we're in Jackson Heights. This is the heart of AOC's congressional district. It's only 10 a.m. and already the street vendors are out. We're going to talk to some of the residents to see how this area is changing.
There's so much immigration now. There's so many Venezuelans, Ecuadorians, Mexicans that crossed over, you know, due to Biden.
Are you seeing crime? More crime?
Crime? Yeah, more crime. There's more crime going on. Robberies. A lot of crackers.
After 7 p.m., you cannot walk around here.
In the corner, every, like, a week, you heard, like, somebody was killed, somebody was, like, beaten.
Está muy inseguro.
I feel very unsafe, truly.
Arrancar la cadena.
I've had three times someone try to assault me, try to pull my gold chain.
Dejándolo siempre andar
allá. I'm always with him and protecting him because the crime is so bad.
You see all the vendors, all the people selling stuff on the street. There's crimes, people getting robbed.
A lot of people doesn't want to come because they come with their families and they see that.
We see them around, but nobody does anything.
Nobody does anything. All of these illegals now peddling whatever they can find and or steal on the streets outside of other businesses. We'll come to that point in a moment. But again, that report was focusing upon New York's District 14. It's a working class neighborhood in both the Bronx and Queens. It's always been kind of progressive, but right now it's kind of going overboard, and they elected AOC. And she got elected as a surprise. She was just a barista in a coffee shop. You want a latte? Okay, I can fix that. And so the 28-year-old Democrat socialist then unseated a 10-term incumbent Democrat Congressman Joe Crowley. He didn't even bother debating. He said, I don't need to bother with that barista. And he ends up losing. You know why? Because they felt he was no longer paying attention to the constituents. And he thought he was so high up, he didn't have to deal with them anymore. He still needed their votes, but he thought, I'm going to get them anyway. Who's going to challenge me? Well, here comes this 28-year-old progressive, and she did. And, in fact, to that extent, keep in mind, Crowley was so entrenched at that point. He was seen as a likely replacement for Nancy Pelosi in the Democrat Party. Well, of course, now he's not even in Congress. And, of course, she told everyone that would listen at the time, this is just not the beginning. This is going to go farther. We're going to go do more. But then you go back and you talk to the residents of her district. As I said, she got elected for the first time, and then she won a re-election, and members of Congress have to come up for election every 2 years. So when she won her first time, okay, all right. And then she continued to kind of work hard and early in the year, in the last 2 years, trying to keep a contact with her base, because she knew that was the campaign that she ran against Crowley, because he did not do it. So she thought, then I would be able to jump in there and take over. But now once she's elected, and now she's become, quote, part of the establishment or the squad, and she gets all this publicity, she's had the same attitude that her predecessor did. I don't have to mess with the unwashed. I don't have to mess with them. I can sit here in my Washington apartment and my congressional office. I don't have to go back to the Bronx and Queens. And again, it's not just those who are there to vote that can or are eligible to vote. It's the influx of illegals into her same area, and her constituents are seeing it and suffering, and not just the individuals, but the businesses.
Brick and mortar businesses are suffering a lot. We have a lot of closed doors, a lot of businesses that are just closing every single day because they can't compete with the prices of that the street vendors outside are giving everyone.
Has your business suffered at all?
Tiene miedo de salir a la calle tan tarde.
She said, yes, our business has been affected.
Todo mundo está cerrando temprano por la situación.
Now everyone goes home early, closes early because of the crime situation.
Inmigrantes buenos somos más generosos.
She said, we take pride in our place. We work really hard. We are immigrants who came here for the right reasons to work, and we just wish that those who aren't complying with the law would be held accountable. Okay. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district. What would you say to her if she was here right now? ¿Qué le dirías a ella?
Su trabajo de cuidar el vecindario.
We would ask her to do her job of taking care of this neighborhood to do a better job.
Just come and walk around here and see everything, all the garbage, all the people getting robbed, they're doing daytime and nighttime.
Entonces me sería muy.
We wish she would do something better here.
Vuelto por aquí.
She is never here.
Hacía campaña voluntaria.
I was a volunteer for her. She completely abandoned our community. She said, I hope that she sees this interview because we all helped her get elected. She said she only cares about Washington and her money. She said nobody loves her here anymore.
That nailed it, doesn't it? She only cares about Washington and her money. Nobody here loves her anymore. Now, again, AOC was elected when she won the primary election for the 14th Congressional District. And, of course, easily won the general election and became the youngest woman ever to serve in the U.S. Senate at age 29. But now she's had all this exposure. She knows there's a J-O-B waiting for her at CNN, MSNBC. Name some other state-controlled media organization. They will make her a commentator faster than they did Jen Psaki and pay her a lot of money. She doesn't need to work for the unwashed of Bronx and Queens again. Just like Obama, I'm out of here. My work is done. Black Lives Matter, buying all those homes, the leader of that. Felicia Kalor, I'm out of here. I'm done with the struggle. I got my money and my homes. Coming up in the next hour, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says why Biden is letting the chaos at the border continue. Not shocking, but you want to hear it. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.